In addition to taking care of one another inside the church, what if we developed a lifestyle of taking care of the most needy outside the walls of the church? How would that change the community and our city? Bob Moffitt, president and founder of Harvest Foundation in Phoenix, along with Pastor Julian Gibb, talk with pastors and leaders about how sacrificial love by those in the church to those in need outside the church has helped people see and embrace Jesus Christ. It's that demonstration of Jesus' greatest commandment that we'll hear more about today on The Kingdom and Its Stories.
Amen. Well, good afternoon. It's 5:30 p.m., Monday drive time. You're listening to Julian Gibb, and today we're blessed to have a new friend. His name is Rick. So, Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Rick, tell us a little bit about yourself. What is it you do? And tell us a little bit more about your journey that you've been on over the last decade, really.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big question. We are stewards of a company called RC Fasteners and Components, and my wife and I. And the journey has been going on over really since 2002. We started the company, and it's been absolutely amazing. We started off running the company, kind of doing it in our power, and then God got a hold of us, and everything shifted. And he got a hold of us and he said, no, we're going to do it this way. And everything changed. So it's been quite the ride so far.
So the so you started a business, you know, what was it, 2006 or something like that? And did everything go well?
No, it was really right after 9/11. And nobody was purchasing anything. Nobody was manufacturing. And it was extremely challenging, but when we were praying about it, we felt like God wanted us to start our own company, because we'd been doing this since we were very young for another company. And I just kind of heard the words, "I won't let you fail," in my heart. Right. And we went off to start RC at the worst possible time, February of 2002. And nobody's buying anything, and planes aren't flying, and we sell parts for planes. And that first year, we did everything we did pretty much was failing.
Oh boy! And so how were you doing at this time? I mean, you know, mentally, spiritually, you know, I mean, you just started this business. It's still alive, but only just, you know. And so, I mean, did the pressure take its toll upon yourself?
Yeah, it definitely did. I found myself, you know, we didn't really have any money. We had garage sale furniture. My wife ended up getting really, really sick and was in the hospital. We had a young son at the time. And it was just extremely challenging. So I found myself in the bathroom time and time again, really, truly crying out to God on my knees and just reminding him, I heard in my spirit, "I won't let you fail."
So what happened? So you know, things are falling apart, you know, you're on your knees. And you're crying out to God, and so what happened? What's the step of the story?
So truly crying out to God, seeking Him regularly, and really going after Him, and praying for my wife at the same time. They didn't even really know if she was going to make it. Just complete stress, complete anxiety over everything that was happening, and really not having, like I said, nothing's coming in, no orders. And little by little, things started to change. And number one was my wife had, ended up having surgery. They said she'd be on dialysis. And that changed. God had a different plan. She got healed there after her surgery. She didn't need dialysis. And little by little, things were progressing, and a phone call here, a phone call there, and then God sent a best friend of mine came in, and he's kind of an angel at the time, and to help me through the hard time, and said he would work for us on commission, because I said I can't pay you, and that started to work out. So things started to progress after about that first year, but it was very, very difficult.
And so you got on your knees, and not that this always happens, but God answered your prayers directly, and sort of help bring your wife back to health, and help to bring some life back into your business, so things were getting better. So were you therefore just no questions, just full steam ahead, sold out for Jesus at that point?
No, I wasn't. I was seeking him, but not like I should be. Yeah. And, I found myself after we got going, putting him back on the shelf.
Oh boy.
And, our motto became make it happen. And, we were doing everything in our power to make it happen. We felt like God got us to this, and he got us through that. Now it's time to make it happen in our power.
Well, I mean, it's so tempting, isn't it? You know, it's like a magic genie in a sense. You know, it's like, oh, you know, God, get me out of this. You know, and then, you know, you say a few prayers, you rub the lamp, you know, and yeah. And hope that God comes to save you. And then, you know, if he does, then it's kind of like, hey, you know, phew. Looks like we got ourselves through that one, you know, like then pop him back on the shelf. And he's always there if you need to bring him down and rub that magic lamp again, isn't it? But that's not quite how God works. How was that? So you put your words, you put God back on the shelf. And so was it plain sailing at that point?
It was there for a little while. And then in 07, a major storm hit when I lost my dad, my mom, and my sister, one right after another. And at the time, my soon-to-be wife and I were not doing well, so everything was starting to fall apart again. And I went into a really bad way, battling mental health issues that would last about 3.5 years.
Oh boy, sorry to hear that. And so, wow. So those are severe challenges that came your way. And so again, what happened? I mean, how did you dig yourself out of that one?
Well, my sister, Sandy, called me, and she said she heard what was happening, and she said, you have to surrender all to God. You have to go after him with everything you got. So so I proceeded to do that by truly, truly digging into him, surrounding myself with Christian music. We have a heart for Christian music. Really doing exactly what she said. And I remember at my darkest hour of sleepless nights, night after night, just where I was literally brought to my knees, and I, you know, everything. And I said, God, if you want what's left of this pile of rubble, then you can have it. Because, and at the time I was even thinking of ways, I was getting thoughts of, checking out. I had mental health so bad. I was eating 10 meals a day and losing weight. And, it was extremely bad. Got so bad. I couldn't go out of the house. And at the same time, I had to deal with, lawyers from my parents' estate and lawyers from my sister's estate. So, there's a sign on our bathroom wall that says, God only gives you as much as you can handle. And I used to look at that, and I used to weep, and I used to think, wow, you must really think I have big shoulders, Lord, because I don't, but I know you do. And I know that. So really, truly, I had to start speaking faith. I had to really start. The lies were so bad. I really had to start. I was seeking him, and then he showed me how to start speaking truth and speaking faith. So I that became a practice.
So Rick, how, for me, for those listening, how do you seek God?
Well, you know, all my life, those, you know, raised a Christian and having God was always in the top 10, but that's not pleasing to him. And so he has to be, he has to be at the top. And really, truly, everything, you know, and it starts with a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And when you seek him and go after him, he, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And he does provide that. So really it was starting in the morning with him, talking to him throughout the day, seeking him throughout the day. If some negative thoughts were coming in, just kind of taking a walk and talking with him and learning to capture those thoughts and replace them with the truth of God's word.
So Steve, if you seek God, if you start knocking on his door, does he open? Does he answer?
There's no doubt. Yeah, because it says it in scripture, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. But he's looking for us to truly do that, to seek him, because he's not going to push himself on us.
So you earnestly, you know, you stopped your sort of terminology, not mine. You stopped flirting with Jesus and you put him as your priority in your life. And so what happened? What happened with your mental health? What happened with your relationship with your wife? What was the result?
So during that suffering time of, you know, of anxiety and all that, somehow God gave me strength to get through it all. And so I knew he was there. I knew he was in it. Well, as I started seeking him and taking notes as I read his word as he was filling my spirit back up after everything I had gone through, I started to change, and he was changing me and he was working on me, and I started to produce fruit. And my girlfriend at the time, we were not married. She started, her and our son, they started to notice a change in me, and I started to treat them differently. And God allowed us to did a miracle there and allowed my girlfriend of 24 years to fall in love again. Uh-huh. And get married. And that was truly amazing. So, yeah. So God started to do, when I started seeking him, he was there every day. I think he was always there. I just was too busy to notice him, but I was on notice now.
Wow. You're listening to The Kingdom and Its Stories. My name is Julian Gibb, and today we're blessed to have Rick Johnson. He's sharing his story about how he wandered away from Jesus Christ. And we're learning now about how his walking back to him, how he knocked and God opened the door, and how he changed Steve's life. Steve was struggling with depression and a number of other things. So Steve, Rick, I want to learn a little bit more about so what happened next. So you and your girlfriend, now wife, you fell back in love with one another. Your son was trying to figure out what was going on. You know, what was happening to Dad? You know, and you know, son, in a positive way. So you know, you were walking back with God. By the way, I've got to ask this: what's God like?
He's amazing, and when you for anybody out there going through a hard time, when you seek him, he is the ultimate comforter. And when you, it seems like adversity, we can look at adversity as several different ways because it can be painful, but the word says count it all joy. And you don't understand that, but when you're going through it, you start to experience his love that, and once you get in tune with that, with his love, it changes everything. It changes your whole perspective. And, when you start to learn about how amazing his love is, it allows you to grow in love and grow in compassion. And it's absolutely wonderful.
And so, what are you doing now? So, you know, you've turned back to God. It appears that he's not only putting your life back together, but he's rebuilt it, you know, that it was stronger than it ever was before, more, pardon my terms, but more functional, you're more together, you know. So what are you doing now with how are you serving God, being his hands and feet through your everyday life?
Well, I remember walking through the warehouse one day and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I found myself starting to ask him more questions, and I was getting responses in my heart. And he says, we're going to use RC fasteners for my glory. And I said, okay, well, you know, I felt that in my heart. And I said, well, you're going to have to show me how to do that. And as I continued to seek him daily, and commit my, you know, the Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to him and he will direct your steps or direct your path or establish your thoughts, depending on what translation. And he absolutely does. I call them downloads from heaven, 5G, Galatians 5. And you're connected to that. He does. He leads you. And so everything started to change from that moment on.
Your work?
Yes. Yeah. Work, our marriage. And our son couldn't believe what was going on, but we, you know, miracles started to happen after that. We were getting ready to move out of that building that we were in. And we felt like God was saying, move to a bigger place, three times as big. And we had just lost our second biggest account. And I was telling my wife, I feel like God wants us to go to a bigger place. And she said, well, that sounds crazy because we just lost our second biggest account and they owed us a bunch of money that we're not going to get paid. And she says, but I see what you're doing with the Lord. I'm going to trust you. I'm trusting God. So we asked God to close the doors where he didn't want us to go and to open them where he wanted to go. And little by little, things opened up and we went into a beautiful place. Still didn't have a whole lot of money, but we were leasing it. And when we moved in, we dedicated it to the Lord. We anointed it in oil and everything started to happen there. But, you know, a month or two went by and all of us are starting to complain, myself included. And I remember standing in the warehouse and we're getting ready to do a prayer on Monday, which we did. And we're all complaining in the circle. And I remember saying, you know what? Enough. We can't complain anymore. We've got to remember what happened to the Israelites. So we made a pact at that time. It's a kind of a no complaining rule that we were no longer going to complain and we were going to speak faith because God brought us to it. He's not going to leave us now. And sure enough, that was a key turning point to everything shifting. It's so important what comes out of our mouth.
And so, you know, we as Christians, we all know that Sunday we worship, the rest of the week, you know, we're just working. You know, there's a big divide, you know, so we're Sunday Christians, you know. Of course, I'm being flippant. You know, how have you brought worship into your workspace? How have you blessed, I guess, your employees, the people you work with, your clients? How has God utilized you? Give us some stories about how he's worked through you in your working environment.
Yeah, when we moved in, I looked back on the place where we were walking in the door. There was a church behind us, and I just knew that, kind of knew that I knew we were gonna pick this. This place was gonna be the place that God was gonna pick. And sure enough, it all came together. God did close the doors where He didn't want us to go, and He opened them. And from that moment on, we partnered with the church, and we started a food bank was started. So we would get frozen food from Chipotle and Starbucks and Outback Steakhouse, and we'd get thousands of pounds of frozen food, and we would give it to different churches and Mom's Pantry, et cetera. And the joy of being able to do that, really, you could see it in the employees when we're loading up the vans. And so, and we'd pick it up on our sales call. So that was amazing. And then we started a Bible study. I went to the guys one day and I said, "Hey, I never really done this before, but would you guys be interested in starting a Bible study?" And they said, "Well, I don't know." And I said, "Well, how about if you came in an hour early Friday and you left an hour early, so it's kind of like you're getting paid for it." And they said, "Wow, okay, yeah, I think we could probably do that." And so fast forward now to probably 7 years later, the key to the whole thing is obviously God in the center. And the Bible studies and they're also leadership studies, John Maxwell studies. We might do a Christian movie, but they go about 2 hours, 2 hours and 15 minutes now, and they are absolutely changing people's lives because God is in the midst of it, and the fruit and everything is growing. So that's one of many other things that we're doing right now.
So absolutely no names or anything, but you know, how have people's lives been changed by working in your environment?
Well, everything we do, we put God first. We look for opportunities, not to sell, really to sell fasteners. I mean, that keeps the lights on, but we're looking out for opportunities to be the hands and feet of the Lord. So our salesmen, we get together, we pray about where God wants us to go, and He leads us to places, and some of them aren't big places. Some of them are small, but so there could be a spiritual need there. So we do prayers on Mondays. We're always praying. We've seen so many miracles. We have customers come in and you'll see guys praying with different people, different vendors, suppliers. We actually really pray for opportunities to edify and lift people up and encouraging them, especially now with what we're going through now.
Steve, you know, you've got your your marriage is stronger than ever. You know, your son and your family's doing great. Your business is earning money. You know, you've now got a few extra bucks in the bank. You know. Why not put God back on the shelf? Why not go to Hawaii, play a round of golf? You know, God's done His bit. You know, He's pulled you out of the rut. You know, why not put Him back on the shelf?
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of made a promise to Him that, I never wanted to be disingenuous again. And I'll tell you what, and it is, isn't it? It's, there's no greater way to run a business when it's God's business. So when you surrender your business to God and your life, your family, your kids, your worries, your burdens, when you surrender to Him, that's when everything changes. Because guess what? It's now His responsibility. It's our responsibility to seek Him and have a relationship with Him. But when we surrender it all to Him, He is going to light our path and guide us. So there's no other way. The make it happen way did not work. And there's no greater joy than to truly, truly surrender it all to the Lord, because that's when everything changes.
Wow. So there's nothing better. Do you hear that, everyone? So Steve was saying from the depths, you know, God has sort of raised him up, and there's nothing he would exchange it for. But listen, all of us have a story. All of us have been through some pain and seen God bring them out of it. So rely on Jesus Christ. Go out and love your neighbor as yourself. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless you through your day and through your week.
Jesus defines discipleship as come and follow me. Next Monday at 5:30 p.m. on Faith Talk 1360, we'll hear another testimonial from a leader demonstrating how they and the people of the church are sacrificially loving the needy and beginning to see real change in their communities. If you have a personal example of how you are being the hands and feet of Jesus with your neighbors, we'd love to hear from you. Enter your story at harvestfoundation.org. That's harvestfoundation.org on the Contact Us tab. You can also subscribe to the podcast on The Kingdom and Its Stories on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.